Can you hear me? Amen. Well, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. It was special for me. I had a chance to have Thanksgiving here at the church with a handful of people, and it was a blessing. But now I'm excited about the Advent season. I just love Christmas. I love Advent. I love the way that we put our stuff together here that reminds us of Christ's child and also the Christmas season, all the decorations. And it's important for us to really get into the season. That's why we have seasons. That's why we have holidays. It helps us to focus on God's goodness. And that's what Advent means, that period of preparation. So for the next few days until Christmas Eve, we are in the process of preparing our hearts. It's important for us. We can get so lost in all the things that happen around Christmas. There's a lot of things that pulls us away from, well, Jesus Christ, about that Christ child. And this time is to prepare us to really focus on what happened on that day in Jerusalem. And we'll be gathered together Christmas Eve. I hope you're there for the candle and carols. And also Christmas Day, which is going to be on Sunday. That our hearts are prepared, and we are excited about the fact that Christ came into the world. And one of the best ways of doing that is to look at all the stories that are given to us. Traditions are important. We have traditions here at the church. Those traditions connect us to what we believe in. Without those traditions, we lose sight of that. The same way I would encourage with your families and with your friends to develop traditions that remind you of your connectedness with them. We have special traditions in our family that we do for Christmas, things that we look forward to. In matter of fact, it really sort of separates us from all the other people, the Dombrowski's traditions. And I love them because it reminds us that we're unique and crazy people. But that's what traditions do. It gives us something special. And if you don't have any traditions, if you don't have something that you can sit back and connect yourself with, like a family or friends or even a church, I would pray that look for opportunities to make traditions, something special. Either follow a devotional book, you know, have your own little candle, do little things that put you into the midst of this great Advent. And we do. We love the stories. Stories are powerful for us. But in fact, one of the best ways to get to know a person is ask their story. Ask about themselves. They're just a book. And as you ask questions about their life and ask questions about how they do things, you're getting to know that book. You're getting to know those stories. So always be in a process of asking people their stories. And there's so many wonderful things that takes place in people's lives that we have no idea. I always try to get together with couples, married couples, and ask them, how did you meet each other? Tell me the story. It's always special, it's always unique, but it helps me to connect with them, and stories do that. Jesus was good at this. In fact, he was great at it. In fact, we got to remind ourselves that when we look at the scripture here, this is not just a workbook or technical book, this is a history. And all these stories together, as we read the stories, we always need to remind ourselves the context of God's great story of redemption for us. So when we read the stories. And God is bringing out some powerful truths, beautiful ways to help us to connect with God, but also to know God. We know God through these stories. Jesus Christ was great at doing that. He provided us with parables. He was so good. He used simple stories to illustrate a moral point or a spiritual lesson or a value that we need to embrace. So we have those. And we do that in many ways. In fact, one of the biggest stories that we have and people love to study, if you ask them what is one book in the New Testament they would love the story, many times people would say Revelations, right? Because that book is filled with imagery. It is a grand story. And as you study that story, you'll see so many metaphors, but also those metaphors describe what was taking place right at that time. God was opening our eyes to all the things that were happening around to the Jewish people as well in that era, but also it gives us an understanding of the past as well as the future. As we understand the stories, as we look into the many ways, it describes beautiful truths in our life, things that are going to happen. But also we as Christians, we love good Christian stories. I mean, one of the best stories that we always look around for Christmas is the Christmas Carol. And if you heard or read anything about why that person did it, the person who wrote that story, and I completely forgot his name, Charles Dickens, he did it for a reason, okay? And the reason, he wanted to make sure that people understand that around Christmas time, especially those people that were in industry, that you have to take care and love the people that are working for you. A reminder. It's the Christmas Carol. And I think if I were to ask you, what are five movies that you enjoy watching, you have to watch right around Christmas time, movies that kind of help plug you into the Christmas season, or it helps you to plug in the past. So we do that as a family. We have one Christmas music, and it's very difficult because I'm not here right now, but a Christmas movie that we love watching together as a family is The Muppet Christmas Carol. We love that as a family. And we had a promise for the longest time, we will not watch it until we got together and we sat together as a family and watched it. And we would actually sing with them. It's a great movie, Muppet's Christmas Carol. So that, those are movies like that, especially as the Christmas Carol. But also we have a great book called Pilgrim's Progress, another way of understanding our Christian faith through a great story. But C.S. Lewis did the same thing. He put together The Chronicles of Narnia. An opportunity for us, for children as adults, is to understand our Christian faith through this amazing story. And it's one of the best out there. I've read all the books. I love listening or watching the movies. And we'll be focusing on this Christmas or this Advent on a series of sermons where we will pick out Narnia. We'll pick out some examples of Narnia that kind of helps us to understand Christmas. I think you had a chance to see that, the beaver. Okay. And the beaver is so excited, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, so excited because they are understanding that the fulfillment of prophecy is happening and Aslan is coming, or Aslan is there. In fact, he has a little poem that he quotes, and the poem was that, and probably had a hard time hearing it, "Right will be wrong when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again." C.S. Lewis understood the importance of prophecy. And prophecy is very important as a part of a Christian faith. In fact, Jesus Christ, as we got together today, we looked at a couple verses that reminds us of a prophecy that took place long time ago in which a person was going to come in and fulfill the prophecy of becoming a Messiah that came into the world. Now, have you ever thought about that before? There are hardly any cultures out there that have prophecy, where a person fulfilled a prophetic prophecy or a vision. We're one of the very few ones that do that. It is very important for us to know that our understanding of Jesus Christ comes from the Old Testament, but what's even more powerful, that he fulfilled prophecies that was told about him hundreds of years before he came there. That is an amazing understanding. That dynamic is crazy to think about. That they talked about a person, they prophesied about a person, and he fulfilled those prophecies. I don't know if we can even think of another person aside from Jesus Christ. There might be someone out there, but I have no idea who that person is. Now, the probability of a person fulfilling those prophecies is crazy high. Now, let me give you some numbers right now. Just give you a ballpark of some numbers. Well, first of all, the odds of dying in a plane crash or in a home is 1 in 9,821. So that, you know, that's a good number. The odds of you being attacked and killed by a shark is 1 in 3,748 or in 67. Okay. But that's the odds of you being struck by lightning is 1 in 1,000,000. Okay? So, and almost 90% of all lightning strikes, victims survive. I actually had a friend who was hit by lightning. The odds of humanity coming into existence, okay? This is a huge number, you know, very huge. It's like a trillion, trillion. It is crazy, the probability of something being created out of nothing. It's crazy, so I just want to put that to the side. But for a person to fulfill just 8 prophecies, just 8, Now, Jesus fulfilled 55 prophecies that was told about him years before he came on the scene. But just eight of them is one with the tenth with seven with 1, 10, 17. It means 10 with 17 zeros behind that. That's just eight prophecies. That is a crazy number. That is huge. Well, here is a little understanding of that from a quote that I got from Science Speaks. This person described it this way. Let us try to visualize this chance. If you mark one of 10 tickets and place all the tickets in a hat and thoroughly stir them and then ask a blindfolded man to draw one, his chance of getting the right ticket is 1 in 10. Suppose that we take 10 17 power, okay, 10 17 zeros. You take silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all the state 2 feet deep. And now mark one of those silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state. Then blindfold a person. Tell them he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say, this is the right one. Okay. What chance would he have of getting the right one? That's crazy to think about it. Texas is huge. Alaska is twice as big, remember that. But huge, and lay silver dollars all over the place and have one that's marked, and a blind man to come in and just pick it out and be the right one. The chances of that is crazy, is just as the same chances of a person like Jesus Christ to fulfill just eight prophecies. Can you understand the uniqueness of Jesus Christ? How powerful that is? That is just eight prophecies. There's 55 prophecies that scholars believe about his birth, his ministry, his death, and resurrection, and his role in church. 55 prophecies. Now, let's take a look at that number. That number is 10 on 157 zeros following that. 157, the probability of one person fulfilling 55 prophecy, let alone eight, is crazy big. Why am I saying this? Because unless we understand the magnitude of Jesus Christ and how he came into the world and how he fulfilled those prophecies, then we're going to overlook Christ, that special Christ that came into the world. And that's why Isaiah 9, 6, 7 is a powerful passage. Let me read it to you again. Again, this was given 600-800 years before Christ came on the scene. For to us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is just one prophetic prophecy of Jesus Christ, and there's so many more. That's who we are celebrating. We are preparing our hearts to celebrate this man who fulfilled these prophecies. Christ came into the world, and very important, understand how unique this and unique this is. Let's look at the Matthew passage, because again, it tells us something that's very, very difficult for many, many non-Christians to believe. They struggle with this. You tell them about this, they sit there and go, yeah, yeah, right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. That does not make sense to a secular mind. It does not make sense to a person who is not a Christian. That God planted a seed in Mary's womb, and a baby came from that. Fully God, fully human. We believe as Christians that God came into the world, he incarnated into a human, and we believe that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. A virgin birth. Think about what I just said. We don't have an example out there. There's nothing out there that compares to that. And we, as Christians, say, yeah, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, God incarnated into a man, came by a virgin birth. He is the one who we're celebrating on Christmas Eve. That concept gets lost to a lot of people. That's one of the most primary essentials in our life, is that we believe on that. People struggle. Even Christians struggle. Some Christians struggle with a virgin birth. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you struggle with that. I do know that it's hard to wrap your mind around that. But I do know that it takes faith through the Holy Spirit that is able to give us that understanding. C.S. Lewis said it best. He said, if you could believe in the virgin birth, if you believe that, then all the miracles that Jesus Christ did is small in comparison to what Christ, how Christ came into the world. The virgin birth, fully God, fully human. So that is something that we have to understand and grasp. That is the Savior that comes into the world. That is that cute little baby that we celebrate on Christmas Eve night. That this is a profound statement. Then he says this. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Very beautiful story. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. This is where we go back right here. This is so important because God loves us so much. He gave us his son. He always desired for us to have a relationship. Because of our brokenness, he saves us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless we're saved, we are eternally lost, and we are eternally or being removed from God forever. But God came into the world to save us. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Behold it, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Again, this prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God's with you. God is with you. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Fulfilled prophecy. I hope you're blown away by the probability of those prophecies being fulfilled by one person. That is huge, and Christ did it. And so what we're learning this morning, and we're going to end with this, Jesus, our Savior, and our hope. That's it. Jesus, our Savior, and our hope. A person who was born by a virgin, fully God, fully human. And the only way that we can truly believe that as Christians is through the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and heart to be able to sit back and say, okay, God, I accept this by faith. I may not have all the answers to it. And yeah, it's a little sometimes messed up to really try to conceive this, but somehow I believe in this. Somehow I'm going to celebrate the fact that Christ has come into the world, and I will celebrate on Christmas Eve. Jesus, our Savior. I have a cute little story. When my oldest son decided in his senior year that he wanted to be in the choir. He has a great voice. He was a wrestler, and he took most of all his time as wrestling, but he said, well, I'm going to try singing. It's my last year, so I'm going to go sing. And so he went out for this choir, and Gehenna has, his graduating class had 650 people that graduated. Huge high school. And so he went out for this high school choir, and, you know, Cynthia and I, we really haven't had any type of connection with music, especially with choir music, because our kids were not really into it as much. So he tried out for the choir, he made the choir, and they had his Christmas special. You know, and Cynthia and I, we went to it, and I had no idea what to expect. A Christmas choir, a special at a secular high school. You know, I mean, it's just, I think, okay, we're going to hear about Frosty the Snowman. jingle bells, something like that. It's going to be, probably not all that good. Well, we got there. See, the best Christmas music is focused on Christ. The best classical Christmas music is on Jesus Christ. And we sat there, and the audience was just filled with people. And they're singing this music, and I'm listening to these awesome words about Jesus Christ and the birth of Christ and being our Savior. I felt like I was in a grand worship setting. I'm looking back and going, Cynthia, is this really legal? Can they really do this? They're singing about Jesus Christ. I mean, and doing it wonderfully. He said, yeah, she goes, the best music at Christmas is about Christ. Jesus, our Savior. At Christmas, we sing about Jesus. At Christmas, we have some of the best music in the world. A part of our traditions is to listen to music. I don't like listening to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. In fact, I don't even start listening to Christmas music until today. This is the day that I start listening to Christmas music because I want to prepare my heart for Christmas Eve. So, Jesus Christ, our Savior, He's our hope. Our hope, as we heard David pray, it shapes us. We identify it. It helps to shape our identity on that hope. The way we believe about hope and eternity helps us to know how to live today. Because that we are eternal creatures, because we've been chosen to be a part of God's great family, because we are going to be in heaven with God, because He saved us from our sins, it determines our life right now. It shapes the way we look at life. It shapes the way that we have purpose in life. It is one of the best things that happens to our lives, and it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. The first Sunday of Advent is hope. Hope that was given to us and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Savior, and our hope. Help us to prepare our hearts, God. Celebrate this Advent season. Let's do whatever we can to get to that point when we get on Christmas Eve. In fact, I talked to one of the people that was at our Thanksgiving meal, and I asked, what are some of the special traditions and things you look forward to on Christmas? And one of the person goes, I can't wait until Christmas Eve. The candles and carols, that's one of the most powerful traditions in my life, and I can't wait for that. Help us to prepare our hearts for that night. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You so much for giving us this beautiful understanding of prophecy that Your Son fulfilled, and we can't even wrap our mind around a number that large. We don't even know how to even pronounce it. But He did it, God. He fulfilled those prophecies. He is the Christ child. He is the one that came into the world to save us, and He's our hope. Help us, God, to prepare our hearts this Advent season. In Your Son's name, amen.